Self-discipline is when your conscience tells you to do something and you do not talk back. Self-discipline is when your conscience tells you to do something and you do not talk back. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Self-discipline is when your conscience tells you to do something and you do not talk back. How often have we had the idea that we should do certain things and then we discuss it with ourselves and decide it's not necessary to do? I've been dealing with love affairs now for the past couple of years, and I find them very charming. And I'm finding that the men love the women, or the women love the men, and they want to have a relationship. And the women, for some reason, are not available to the man because of many reasons, and the man sometimes is not available to the woman, who is very eager to have that person. And as I explained to each one of them, self-discipline is when your conscience tells you to do something and you do not talk back. What's the best way to have a perfect relationship? Obviously, to have a perfect person in the relationship. Now, can you make the other person in your relationship perfect? Or can you be perfect yourself? Now, if you're perfect, you're going to create about you perfect people. You're going to create about you people who are the ideal, the epitome of the perfect man or perfect woman, you know. And don't you believe in your own creativity, your own ability to create the most beautiful man or the most beautiful woman in your relationship? Don't you believe in yourself? Don't you think that, well, you already are judging. You're saying, I don't want this and I do want that and I don't want this and I do want that about a relationship, you know, about a person. Well, you see, already you're saying you know what you want and what you don't want. So, now, within us is a very, very wonderful reservoir. A reservoir of all knowledge. A reservoir of unconditional love. A reservoir of beauty and goodness. Okay? Now, do you know you got that reservoir in you? Yes. And no, you don't. Do you know you have that reservoir within you? If you knew you had that reservoir within you, you would go swimming in that reservoir regularly, every moment of your life, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be a great thing to do? Yes. To be living in that reservoir of awareness, of unconditional love, of all knowledge and all that other good stuff? Now, why don't we do it? Well, we don't do it because we have a feeling that we should have it done the way society tells us is the way to do it. And society says that you should be handsome. Society says you should be rich. Society says you should be healthy. Society says you should be blah, 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 blah. All these neat things. And hey, that's not bad at all, you know. But what does the divine in you say? The divine in you says that all is in divine right order right now. All is in divine order right now. Mm-hmm. That's what the divine in you says. The divine in you says, all is in divine right order right now. Now, perhaps the woman or the man that you would have as your ideal is not the way society would say they were ideal. Have you ever looked at a person, maybe even yourself, and you look in the mirror and you see a happy smile? Do you notice whether you're handsome or beautiful? No. You see that happy smile and you say, wow, do I feel great. Have you ever looked in the mirror of your children or your husband or your wife or your mother and father, sisters or brothers? When are they the most beautiful? When are they the most handsome? When they're filled with love. When they're filled with a bursting over of enthusiasm and joy for living. Now, can the movie star create that? Yes, they can. But when they do, you have no idea what they look like. When a movie star is the most gorgeous, fantastic, beautiful thing in the world, you say, beauty but no brains. But really, when a movie star has class, has a magic about her or him, if a movie star is a glorious, wonderful person who you just feel, that's my ba, that's my ma, you know, that's somebody I'd love to have as my parent, you know, or that's, they wouldn't be a wonderful sister or brother, blister, yeah. There's the Waltons. Remember the Walton family? And they had a serial on television. And at night, what is the thing that happened throughout the house? Now, if you saw the show, you'd remember that. And at night, what happened was, good night, Rod. Good night, George. Good night, Harry. Good night, Max. Good night, Mary. Good night, Mom. Good night. Shut up. They all were saying good night to each other, you know, from their various rooms or their various places, you know. It was sort of a symbol, you know, an icon for the show. And it was quite charming. And in the beginning, it was a little, you know, irritating. But after a while, they started to put love into it. And they really meant it. And all of them spoke to the one who was having a little difficulty. Good night, George. Good night, George. Good night, George. With love and peace and harmony. And, you know, they all sort of reached out in that magic. Well, now, the Waltons were not a handsome family. They were not what you would call movie star quality, you know. And their mother and father certainly were not. But they were a family of dignity. They were a family of class. They lived in very limited circumstances, but they were a family of class. They had principles and they lived by them. They had values and they lived by them. They respected womanhood. They respected manhood. They respected each other. And their beauty was far greater, far more beautiful than any outer picture might ever be, even with their old clothes that they wore, you know. They always looked beautiful because they did not see their clothes. You saw their personality. You saw their heart. You saw their life. And you see, self-discipline is when your conscience tells you to do something and you don't talk back. The Waltons were not perfect, obviously, but they were good. They knew within themselves when their inner self said, that's not the thing to do, and they didn't do it. And you didn't feel good about them not doing it. You felt that is the right thing. You know what I mean? That they're doing the right thing. And so it is with the movie we saw last night. The brother tried to show the other brother off as being mature before his time and being no sense of humor and he just wasn't a nice guy. But yet, the other brother that wasn't a nice guy was the guy with all the principles, with all the... But then, when it came time to look at the other brother, we found that he had principles that were very deeply ingrained, maybe not properly directed. He felt that when somebody ran into another car and caused a hit-and-run accident, and they got away with it, that when he found them, he went and knocked the liver out of them, you know. Somebody might say the urine out of him, but he knocked the liver out of him and had a good fight, and he won. And the police came and put him away because he had been the cause of the battle. But because he was able to show that he was had done it righteously, self-righteously, that he was excused. But the brother that got him excused was the brother who was the brother who lived by principle also, but principle and the law. You see, when we are really self-disciplined, it's when our conscience tells us to do something and we immediately do it. We don't talk back. We don't say, oh dear, oh my, oh gosh. Rex used to come into the house and he would bring logs in the house. He would go out and cut down trees in our little wooded area and bring a log in. And I'm sleeping there. I hear the crunch, crunch. And I think the woodpecker, not woodpecker, but the, somebody chewing on wood there. And I look down, and there he's got a big log. And I think to myself, oh, you silly nut. You silly nut. You're messing up my house. But so be it. And so in the morning, I get up, and I step on these broken pieces of wood. And I think to myself, oh, Rex, oh, Rex. And meanwhile, he has gone out to do his duty and so forth. And so I take the wastebasket, and I pick up the little pieces. I could use the vacuum cleaner, but why? You got to pick up the big pieces first, and then you pick up the little ones. You might as well do it all at once. And then I went around the house and picked it up in the three or four places where he had been working and cleaned it all up. It was all done in 2 or 3 seconds. And then he came in, and he had another stick with him. And I said, not this time, buddy. And I took his stick, and I threw it across the fence. And what happened? Because I was not throwing it with the right idea in mind, the stick went up and hit the ceiling of my porch instead of going out across the yard. And I thought, Herb, you're irritated. Now stop it. And so I picked up the stick and threw it sideways so it went across the fence out into the yard. Well, am I angry at Love, at Button, at whatever his name is, Rex? No. I love him unconditionally. Is he trying to do something to be mean to me?
No.
No, he's just being himself and having fun. And so what do I do with him? I gave him a brushing. And I pulled off a bale of hay. Because when you brush him, you get all the hair that is down deep and just wants to come loose. So it came loose and he just became so beautiful. And I had to snuggle him, you know. And when he comes in, and he jumps up on my bed, and dirty paws, just after playing in the water where I tried to keep it away from him, what do I think? Do I think that water is going to get down into my covers, or is it going to stay on top under the spread for the top of the bed? It's going to stay on top. And it does. And it does. And I vacuum the house maybe every other day, and there's not much in it. There's not much. You think that there'd be a lot, but there isn't. Now, why isn't there a lot? Because I don't create it in my consciousness. Self-discipline is when your conscience tells you to do something and you do not talk back. Life is so much more fun when we stop thinking that we're so important. When we stop thinking that the things we're doing are so tremendously important. What we should do is do the things that are set for us to do. And if they get messed up, so they get messed up. And so we just go on and we live a happy, wonderful life that is filled with joy and filled with peace and filled with harmony. And really, it doesn't make any difference. We're having friends here at Christmas time for the story of Jesus, and it's going to be a wonderful seminar. And we're going to have a variety of people here for the seminar, and they'll be staying on campus in our various retreats. We have room for more if anybody else wants to come too. But we're going to have a nice time. Now, all of you are quite busy here, but you're going to find time to go and wash the floor and dust the different houses and vacuum clean them and shake the beds and so forth, so everything will be nice for our guests. And when you're done and you've left, and then the magic comes in and does it again and lays dust all over the house you've just dusted. And if the door is open, left open ajar, and the wind blows in, everything is kittywumpus swamped around. And so what? Did you clean it?
Yes.
That's all that matters, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did it stay clean? That doesn't matter. You did your job, and that's the big thing. Always finish what you start. And if things change in the process, so be it. Let it be. But your self-discipline says to you that when you do something, don't talk back. Just fly with it, flow with it, be with it, and enjoy yourself. We live in a very wonderful world. But when we feel self, what am I trying to say?
Pity.
Self-pity, thank you.
You're welcome.
When we feel self-pity, we've blown the whole thing, and it's not worth it. When we feel self-discipline, and we feel good about, hey, I cleaned it up, just because the horses come running through the house afterwards, you know. hey, you know, in Harry Potter last night in the movie, you know, these ghost horsemen were riding back and forth, and nobody pays any attention to them. And that's very interesting. Now, what do you have there, Mr. Rex? Yes, Ingeborg, when I call your attention, it's because I want to give you a treat. Now, call the boy. Yeah, he'll be happy to come. He says, I love picking up things to get retreats. So, you all have a wonderful day and do wonderful things. And remember that you're the master of your life and that I love you, I love you, I love you.
I love you.
Love you.